I wanted to talk a little bit about death today and the resurrection. This Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that is Resurrection Sunday. So this is kind of a good time to be doing what we're doing, to remember things. And I have a couple scriptures that I pulled together. But I wanted to say, kind of as a precursor, death is normal and death is abnormal. Death is normal. What's happening here is normal. Because of all the coronavirus, there's lots of data being thrown around. And recently I heard it stated that every day 700 people die in the state of California because of medically related issues. 700 people every day. So I asked Siri, because I'm not any good with math, I asked Siri, well, what is that? And that during a week, that's 4,900, right? Obviously. 4,900 people that die in the state of California every week. That's 21,000 per month. And that's 255,500 every year. That's what I mean. It's normal. It's part of life. In the old days, they used to have cemeteries right outside church buildings. And that wasn't purely for convenience. I imagine there was some of that. But it was actually a teaching tool, in part. So as you drove up to the church, you would see the cemetery to be reminded that death is normal. And that is the end of every man, just as we read in Ecclesiastes, death is the end of every man. And the living ought to remember that. And then you go in the church and you hear the gospel and that Christ has died for our sins and the hope of the resurrection. He was delivered up for our transgressions. He was raised up for our justification. And you are filled with the hope of the gospel. And then you leave church and you walk or drive past the cemetery once again to remind yourself, you know, sin is real and the consequences of sin. We are forgiven, but never allow our forgiveness to allow us to think that our lives are, don't and sin and death don't matter. So there's always this beautiful balance in the Christian life between remembering death and the consequences of sin, and the hope of the gospel. But sin is abnormal in that it's not part of the original creation. When Adam was created, he was created to live eternally. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would not have died. And we know that from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, that death came into the world through sin. So when we think of Bruce's passing, we kind of go, well, that's normal. That's the end of all of, for all of us. And therefore, we should be sober about how we spend today and tomorrow in our lives. On the other hand, it's also abnormal because that's not the way it was meant to be. Now, Bruce did not die necessarily because of any personal sin. No one dies necessarily because of personal sin. I got angry at somebody, therefore I die or whatever. We die because of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and our sharing in that because the whole human nature changed. All of nature changed, which is in itself, since I'm speaking to a scientific crowd, science has to take into account that creation is not normal, not the way it was meant to be. And it's gone through some changes since the fall. You can go back and read the whole change that happened as a result of Noah. So you go to do science, you want to make great predictions of what it was like 4 million years ago. Have you accounted for the changes? Well, that's another sermon for another day. But but death is not normal. And the gospel promises us that there will come a time when there will be no more death and no more sorrow attached to death. And in John chapter 4, those of you who attend here regularly know that I really don't appreciate chapter divisions in the Bible. because they were not original. And so often, whoever put them in there, I think, you really weren't careful. And you have this at the end of John chapter 13 and the beginning of John 14. In the end of John chapter 13, Jesus is telling Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And it says in chapter 3, verse 38, Jesus answered, you will lay down your life for me. Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you've denied me three times. How would you like to have Jesus tell you that in front of all your friends? I mean, embarrassment, humility, sorrow. I mean, just think of all the emotions that are going off in Peter's mind when he hears that. Right after saying to Jesus, I will go to death with you, man. I don't care what happens. I'm with you all the way. No, you're not, Peter. You're going to deny me. And then there's a chapter break. And the very next words are not just to Peter, but to all the disciples. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You hear law and gospel. Peter, you're going to deny me. And it's very easy to go back and to think about, you and I have talked a lot about regrets, how we, what would we do different, or why didn't I do this or say that or spend this time or that time? Or it's so easy to do that at this point because Bruce is gone, or to do that for your whole life. And we all have regrets. The one thing I hate in life is, they interview some celebrity on TV and they say, do you have any regrets? And the celebrity says, no, I'm gone. Like, my life is a regret. I regret I lived, It's like I think of all the prayers I haven't prayed, or the sermons that I didn't preach, or the phone calls I didn't make, or the things I didn't say that should have been said, or the things I said that should never have been said. I have plenty of regrets. And here Jesus turns to Peter and says, you're going to deny me. And I bet you Peter carried that with himself for the rest of his life. I'm the guy who denied Christ. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may also be. Isn't that a great comfort? Peter, let not your heart be troubled. As he turns to the rest of them, I'm preparing a place for all of you. I wouldn't say it to you if it wasn't true. I wouldn't set you up for that disappointment. And I will come and I will receive you and bring you to be where I am. And there's a certain level of that which Bruce is already now experiencing. Not in its fullness. The fullness of that will be in the resurrection. And as you girls know, that every Lord's Day we quote the Nicene Creed. And you remember how it ends? We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Why do we look for the resurrection of the dead? Because as good as it is for Bruce right now, there's something even better. And that's the resurrection in which all the saints of all the generations are raised. And bodies and souls are reunited. And we dwell with Christ forever. So death is normal in that everyone in this room, apart from God doing something unusual, will die. And those we leave behind will be full of sorrow. But it's also abnormal because that's not the way it was meant to be, nor is it the way it will be. As it says in Revelation, there'll be no more sorrow, sickness, pain, or death. And Jesus says, I will receive you to myself. Where I am, there you also may be. But he also makes this comment later in the chapter, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. And I think that living is not now. Because I live, you will, there's a future tense, you will live also. You will also live. And Bruce now knows something of that in a way that we don't. He knows that. We know that by faith. He knows that by reality. And I think that goes back to Ecclesiastes. Why is the wise man dwell in the house of mourning? Because it reminds us that our best life is not now. Our best life is to come. Our hope is not in this life, which has many sorrows and many valleys and many tears. But our hope is in that which is to come. And in the pressure of the day, you know, the work, the schooling, the assignments, raising children, maybe getting married one day, you know, retirement, hobbies, coronavirus. There's so much that fills our head with so many different things. It's good to be able to take a pause and say, this is not everything it's cracked up to be. In fact, I was thinking this morning, funerals in a sense are a gift of God. Because they're divinely appointed moments for the rest of us to stop and have to think. And so there is that hope. So death is normal, but death is abnormal. And I got all these verses. I'm not going to share them all, but I wanted to share one more, at least one more. It's from 1 Thessalonians. I was sharing this with, I think, one of you the other day. In the early church, you know, Jesus dies, he raises again. 40 days later, he ascends to heaven. You know, 10 days after that, there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts, chapter 2, day of Pentecost. So 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, there's this outpouring of the Spirit. And the great evangelism and thousands of people are coming to Christ in Jerusalem. Gospels being spread out beyond Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria and beyond. And that very first generation of the church expected Christ to return. From the writings of that generation, there was this expectation that before we die, Jesus will return. Well, he didn't. And people started to die. And people struggle with that. Just think, we're all first century Christians. You know, this is, you know, 50 AD or something. We all put our hope and faith in Christ, and then Bruce dies. Well, does Bruce get to be part of the kingdom? Does he miss out on the coming of Christ? In Paul, in the very first letter he will write as the apostle, 1 Thessalonians, he actually addresses that issue. He says, I do not want you to be unaware. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. He doesn't say he doesn't want you to grieve, but he doesn't want you to grieve like those who grieve who have no hope. Your loved ones have died. Christ has not returned. That's a sorrowful thing. Grieve, but grieve not like those who have no hope, but those who have a hope. Well, what is the hope? If we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And that's just a metaphor. Falling asleep is just a metaphor for having died in Christ. Which is what we believe about Bruce. He died believing. He died in Christ. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So Paul's not sharing an opinion here. He's sharing something that God has spoken to him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. And he closes with these words, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I think someone made reference to it earlier. There's coming a moment, there's coming a time, but it's not yet, when all those who have died in faith will be reunited with their bodies, and in body and soul will be reunited with those who are alive when Christ comes. And one day you'll be able to hold Grandpa once again. You'll be able to hug him. Hold his hand. Hear his voice. Just as real as you could 2 weeks ago, or we can do today with one another. That's our comfort. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Someone, I think, said, was it you, Lori? Someone just said a moment ago that we haven't said goodbye. We haven't. It's just, see you soon. And that's our comfort. We haven't lost somebody, even though we say, I lost my father, I lost my grand. We haven't lost anybody. We know right where he's at. And one day he'll be reunited. And there, at that point, that's when there will be no more death. And death will then be not only abnormal again, it will no longer exist for those who are in Christ. And so, for all of us who are older and younger, you've heard me say this many times, tomorrow is promised to who? No one. Tomorrow is promised to no one. All right? I might outlive all of you. Right? Tomorrow is promised to no one. But life is promised to everyone who by faith puts their hope in the death and resurrection of Christ on our behalf. And for those who do, we will greet one another again and be with Christ forever. So, Bruce's death is a gift of God to remind us of these things. Give us a divinely appointed pause in everything else that demands our attention to remember the ultimate reality. Because what do we have that we have not received, and what do we have now apart from the gifts of Christ that we will not lose at death? You know, I was saying, joking earlier with Michael, when I die, I want to be in the casket. I want to make sure there's a Diet Dew can with me. But because I drink a lot of Diet Dew. But what good will it do me? None. But in Christ, all things are there for us. Amen? So death is normal. Nothing strange has happened here. But death is abnormal, and that's not the way it was meant to be. And one day, death will be swallowed up. In fact, let me just read the verse. I won't make any comment on it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reminds us of this very thing. That behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death,
Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Why? Because death will be swallowed up in victory because of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your absolute amazing grace that is so sweet and so profound. We pray, Lord, that you would give to us the very comfort, even as Jesus said to the disciples back there in John chapter 14. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace that our hearts would not be troubled, even in the midst of sorrow. Father, we pray that you would put a joy in our heart. And we look forward to the day in which we will see Bruce again, when all will be made right, and all will be restored, and all will be renewed. Until that day, Lord, grant us the grace to walk and live by faith. In Christ we pray. Amen.